iPad. Coo-coo-coo-coo-coo iPad. All right, welcome to, I guess we're up to CandlerCast number 8 here, and I'm here with Parry Grip. Hello, Parry.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
off to a flying start here.
Yeah, we're off. Yeah,
number 8.
It's very exciting. Number 8. There have technically been more, but there have also technically not been more, so
number 8 asterisk.
Parry is known. I guess you're known for a lot of things, and I only
a lot of weird stuff.
I only have what the internet tells me is true about you.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know if it's actually true, but you started Nerf Herder. You are
yes,
in
that
Nerf
is
Herder.
True. Yes, we're sort of still around.
Sort of still around.
We don't do anything. We just sort of. Didn't formally break up.
All right, so you're sort of still here,
mm-hmm.
And you, with that comes the theme song to Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, that is true.
That is also true, and you are an internet jingle YouTube song video. Virtuoso, I guess. I don't know exactly what to define what it is that you do with these jingles.
It has no... there's not a word for it yet. So I think you did pretty good. Although virtuoso is pretty generous.
Yeah. I guess. Well, I don't know how much competition you have. So I guess that's... that could
I
be a
think
fair
there's
enough
there's not
title.
That much.
Yeah.
I think there's not that much.
So I guess if there's a better way to explain what it is, you have these, I guess, these sort of commercial mashups of what is out there on YouTube. Is that a good way to put it?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's true. I'd say that's pretty good.
And you've been doing this for quite some time. How far back does this actually go?
Well, I think it was long ago, maybe 2008.
Yep. That's when
I think I started. Your
website starts January 1st, 2008.
Yes, and I started doing these songs of the week, and what happened was you kind of run out of, that's a lot of songs eventually, and you sort of run out of ideas, and at some point, Cat Flushing a Toilet was the first one I did, kind of taking clips from YouTube. And I remember watching this Cat Flushing a Toilet, this video, and it had so many views. And I thought, man, this is, like at the time, my band Nerf Herder had a CD coming out. And I thought, man, it's crazy. Millions of people watch this Cat Flushing a Toilet, but like only hundreds will watch the Nerf Herder video. Why is that? And then I kept watching the video, and you know, at first I was sort of, well, this is dumb, people are watching this. But then after I watched it about 50 times, I realized that I really liked watching this cat flushing a toilet, and it was really funny. So yeah. I thought, oh, I know, I'll write a song about this, and I'll sort of edit it together. That was kind of the beginning of it. And it was really fun. It instantly was, you know, making me laugh, and so that was kind of how it started.
Flushing a toilet, he's a cat. Flushing a toilet, he's a cat. Flushing a toilet, he's a cat. Flushing a toilet.
I just checked. It looks like it's up to 2 million some odd views at this point.
Yes.
So.
And that video is interesting because it was in the new, latest Michael Moore movie, and I think it was sort of shown as, I didn't actually see the movie, but I think it was shown as kind of an example of like the stupid things people were watching instead of paying attention to the financial crisis and stuff. And the other person, I thought, so Michael Moore picked it for that, and then the other guy who used it was Bill O'Reilly, who hates animal videos on YouTube, so he also used it as an example of something really stupid on YouTube, so I thought, oh, wow, this is something these two guys can agree on. They both think cat flushing a toilet is stupid.
And now when you're talking about them using it, you're talking about cat flushing a toilet, not the Parry Grip music video of cat flushing a toilet?
Or no, is the it... Parry Grip music video of it.
of it is what is featured in there in the, both of these left and right personalities. Well, good work for bringing us all together. So that's got to be good. I mean, I don't know. I was hoping to try and parse how many views your YouTube footprint is up to, but it's a little too high for me to count. How does that compare to as a creative professional? How does that compare to some other outlets you may have gone down?
Well, I guess in the old days, before YouTube and that stuff, Nerf Herder were signed to a major label, and we had a video on MTV, and we got played on the radio, and sort of that was the way back then that you would have to, you know, if you wanted to sell music, you would have to get people's attention that way. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, it seems like YouTube reaches way more people than that. I mean, I guess it's more fractured now. Like in those days, like people just had MTV to watch. They couldn't watch all the videos online, and they listened to the radio. They didn't listen to all the other things you can listen to now. So in a way, like it was, I don't know, still didn't seem to work as good. I think YouTube is a great way to get people to hear music.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. And I guess what I should have opened with here is, what do you do for a living?
Well, currently, I mean, I actually have sort of a hard to define stuff that I do, but I'll try to make it simple. Mm-hmm. I actually do some music, which I make money from. Mm-hmm. I've done there's a cartoon called Superhero Squad on Cartoon Network, and I did the theme song for that. And I do the advertising, some advertising music for a company called Wawa, which is like a mid-Atlantic state sort of convenience store.
I love Wawa.
So I do that. If you go to Wawa, they have this thing called Hoagie Fest. They do. They started it in 2008. They're continuing to do it. And so I did those. I did Hoagie Fest 2008, the music, Hoagie Fest 2009. And then they just came out with a breakfast hoagie, and I did the music for that. So it's very really nice. Been like in the past couple of years that I've been able to make a living doing music. Previously with Nerf Herder, like years ago when we were on a major label, I also made a living doing music. And in between, my family owns an orchid nursery here in Santa Barbara. So I can, like when your family owns a business, you can kind of work there. And then if you don't want to work there, you can sort of split. And so that's pretty much what I've done.
You're on YouTube. You get millions and millions of views mashing up these videos. And is this, am I to understand this sort of came together as simply as it sounds? You make music, you saw these videos, and then you said, well, I should make music to these videos?
Yeah, kind of like that. It was pretty simple. But, I mean, like I said, I was doing the Song of the Week thing, and you have to think of stuff to sing about, and I guess I like singing about stuff that is sort of, you know, for years I was in Nerf Herder, which was like a more traditional type band, even mm-hmm. though we were pretty goofy, and so you're singing songs about, you know, traditional topics like, I don't know, I don't even know what songs are about, but like, when you know, it's tough to come up with something new that someone else hasn't already sung about. But like this YouTube stuff, you can, it's really easy because it's all about these new sort of ideas, or sort not really ideas, but new, you know, subject matter. You can't really say I have the like most famous song about like, you know, getting dumped by your girlfriend, but I can say like I have the most famous song about a cat flushing a toilet.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. How long does it take you to write one of these?
Oh, well, pretty fast because they're really simple. That's part of their, you know, the way that they can be catchy as well as the way that makes it easy for me is so basically the idea, you know, you're sitting there, maybe you're cooking oatmeal or something, and you think, oh, cat flushing a toilet, and you sort of come up with a little 10-second hook, and then, you know, it's just a matter of sitting down at the computer and kind of fleshing it out. And, you know, I don't know, a song like Cat Flushing a Toilet probably, you know, I might have spent a couple hours on or something like that. you know, not a lot of time. And then editing the video, maybe a couple more hours or an hour or something.
Yeah.
Not too much time. So it's pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and was there, did you set out to achieve something with the song a week idea, and have you achieved it?
Well, you know, I don't know what I set out to achieve other than, it was just something that seemed kind of fun to me and would also keep me writing, writing stuff. I don't know. It's like you doing your podcast or someone who writes, you kind of have to keep at it. It's really easy to sort of sit around and think, oh, I've got this thing I want to do. And then like months later, you still haven't done it. But if you set up this system where you have to do it every week, you really, you know, it really makes you go forward. And, I don't know. I really like doing it. So I don't really see it as being something that is accomplished or not. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like exercise basically.
Right. But having the most famous song about a cat flushing a toilet, is pretty good. Is a good perk from that, I guess.
It is so far. I mean, there's always someone trying to beat you. So,
Is there, because I mean, on the Candler blog, we do, you know, talk mostly about, you know, theatrical movies and sort of some other video things. And I know YouTube, I know my way around YouTube, but I'm aware that like the video mashup idea is a thing, but I don't know how much of a thing. In your experience, are there people competing with you and trying to do what you do?
Oh wow, I never thought about that. I think people do it, I guess. I mean, it seems like there are other videos kind of similar. I think most people, I don't know, I'm kind of more going for absurdism than maybe out and out funny. You know what I mean? So, so it's hard to be funny. I mean, but absurdism, you just try to think of something weird. So I think that's, that's kind of my thing. I'm sure there are other people doing it.
Yeah. It is funny how, you know, I was looking through, a little bit of your catalog, on the piece Gawker did about you, I guess, last year, and they sort of they have a long list of all your videos, and I had already seen the iPad one, so I was like, all right, so this is a guy who takes, you know, he takes some big, you know, meme or internet movement or whatever, and makes a funny song out of it, and then I saw young girl talking at the camera. And I was like, all right, so that's another one sort of in that vein. And then I watched Spaghetti Cat, which is by far my favorite. And far and away the most absurd. It doesn't have anything to do, like, even remotely. I mean, I know Spaghetti Cat is its own – is a thing unto itself, but it's just so out there.
Keep on eating the spaghetti because you will always be
There's a story behind that, actually.
Yeah.
And what happened was I had done, like, Hamster on a Piano, I think, was really big at the time. And I got an email from a guy working at a record label. And he said, you've got to do a video called Spaghetti Cat, I Weep for You. Because we have this client in here. And by client, he means, like, rock star, working on his video. And we didn't put the Spaghetti Cat into the video like the guy wanted. And he was really upset. And he said out loud, Spaghetti Cat, I Weep for You. And so this guy at the record company sort of emailed me and said, oh, you should do this. But I really think he was joking. I don't think he expected me to do it. I think he was just, like Hamster on a Piano, wanted to say how much he liked it, and also wanted to tell this funny story about this guy. And so that's kind of what it came from.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who the guy is. I sort of have guessed. And if you look around for people who have Spaghetti Cat in their video, you might be able to guess too.
Wow. See, that's a great story. And it's unquestionably the most outlandish that I've seen.
I like that one a lot too. That's that's sort of my personal, that's one of my favorites. there's actually the real problem that happens with these things is that I did one called Hamster on a Piano, which was really by far the most popular one for a while. And the guy who did the original Hamster on the Piano, filming it, is a guy in Italy. And he actually tried to sue me for a lot of money, and which there really isn't that much money in making this thing. But you know, he was really angry about it. And he was super angry because part of the reason he was angry is because he felt that the glory of being this famous YouTube video was being his glory was being stolen. It was clearly like he was very emotional about it. And was willing to invest a lot of money into this this kind of legal battle with me. So, you know, I pulled that video off. I didn't have to, but I did. And it kind of changed the nature of what I could do. So I think I would have done a lot more. And that happened after Spaghetti Cat and after a lot of this stuff. So I probably would have done more of that stuff if I, you know, if that hadn't happened. It kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah, I bet. See, this is phenomenal. This is why when I talk about, you know, like YouTube and video mashups being a thing, like this is, we're talking about law that may not have existed before. It's not litigious because it's intellectual property, but it's certainly silly. There's no business. I mean, it seems to mostly be for fun.
Well, and I think this was the thing that irked this guy was that there was, like, at some point, like, Time Magazine had their top viral videos of 2008, and one of them was this Hamster on a Piano video that I did. It was basically this guy's video with my song over it, and it really made him mad.
Yeah.
And I guess it makes some sense, I guess, I personally don't. People use my songs in tons of videos, and I don't mind at all. It just seems like part of the spirit of the thing.
Yeah, but I guess it's actually it wouldn't be no fault of your own. But once that world crosses over into the almighty print world, you know, it's the world of journalism. I guess sort of the rules come back and bite you.
Yeah.
Or
it's true.
Or hopefully not, but wow, that's very. I'm trying to process all that.
Well, I think it's a kind of a unique case because most people who. I mean, the interesting thing about this guy too is he had put the hamster song on YouTube or his hamster video on YouTube, and he had an Elvis song in the background, and it was like, you can't say I'm infringing your copyright and you're using an Elvis song. Like, you didn't get permission from Elvis to put this song on there. And eventually the people with the Elvis song, whoever owns it, you know, made him take it off. Not his video, but made him change the music. But it was just really, the whole thing was really dumb. And I think it doesn't come into play very much because, like, you take this iPod song that I did, for example, it, you know, uses... This, like, if Apple wrote to me and said, hey, you got to take this down because you're using our video, I would take it down, but it wouldn't really work in their benefit at all. And I think most people realize, well, you really want people seeing your stuff, so however it is, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
I wouldn't have used, like, there was some video I found of some just dude making nachos.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really funny, but then I thought, well, I probably shouldn't use this because this guy, you know, it's his thing. It's not some, like, old advertisement from the 60s that no one's going to care about. It's like, he may say, well, I made this video and I don't want this thing infringed on. So that's the kind of thing I think about after the hamster debacle. I mean, hopefully Taco Bell won't come in and say, oh, like, well, we filmed, that's our video from a long time ago and we don't want you to use it. You know, they could do that, but it seems like it wouldn't really be good for them. So. I guess that's the thing.
I mean, you know, during the Super Bowl yesterday, you know, they posted the ads to the internet as they came on the air because people want to see ads. You know, there's no, it's insane. You know, like if Taco Bell, most you know, major corporations realize that the more fun you have with their material, the better.
Yeah. And another thing about Taco Bell is I started following them on Twitter because they post a lot of links to stuff. And I have a song called This is the Best Burrito I've Ever Eaten, and they posted a link to the video. It's like, hey, you know, we're Taco Bell. If you're following us, check out this. Here's like a, you know, you could, this is related to Mexican food link, yeah. basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, they clearly know what's going on with that stuff.
Yeah. The more people talk about it, it's not a, it's not such a, it doesn't make their tacos any better or worse.
Yeah.
It's certainly not worse. Or better, I guess. I don't know. Well, that's great. This has been very enlightening to me. I don't know about you, but that's great. So I guess the song a week is still going to be going. You're still going to be making these things.
I'm going to do it for, I don't know, until I really like doing it. So like I said, it's like, you know, exercise, like you might to go run around the block or something. So I guess, I sort of think, oh, maybe I'll do it for 10 years. And then see how I feel. That's kind of my goal.
All right, that's a good goal.
10 years.
Yeah. As long as we still have an internet.
I've already done two. So I'm getting pretty good.
So about 2018.
Yes.
Wait, 2000. Yes.
No. Yeah, 2018. I'll be doing it from like a space station or something.
Yeah, if we're all still here, or if, you know, we've moved on to the next thing. Besides the internet.
Yeah. Well, I would still do, I mean, I guess the music will still be around. I mean, that's an interesting question too, is like, will something come and replace YouTube for what people look at? I mean, you think it would, but it's hard to imagine what that's going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. I'm actually going to rewind this and pose another question to you.
Sure.
Audio quality. Because, you know, it's fun to, you know, say like, you know, oh, it's just YouTube and the video doesn't matter or what have you. But, you know, for posterity's sake, I'm curious where as someone whose main line of distribution is the internet, where do you stand on this idea of, you know, like uncompressed audio or higher quality audio getting out there? Or, you know, if we only have, you know, 128 kilobit file that goes out there and that's the only thing, then in the future when we get better audio systems or something, you know, when the next YouTube hits, basically, is that something that ever sort of enters your conversation with yourself, I guess, creatively?
Well, I actually have a pretty strong feeling about that, and that is, I think that really the quality of the audio is one of the very least important things about it, because really it's like with movies or, you know, YouTube. I mean, YouTube is evidence that really it's about, you know, like you could have, like the audio quality doesn't really figure so much into whether people like something or not.
Right.
And I personally I come from sort of the creative side of music, and I've, you know, my whole music career worked with, you know, had to work with engineers and stuff. Not to belittle engineers, but like people who have really strong feelings about recording quality, and I tend to think, well, this is like really not the most important part of, you know, a performance or a song or something. I mean, I love a lot of music that sounds terrible, or people would think it sounds terrible. So I don't think it's really that important. I think the great thing about YouTube is so convenient and easy. I think the quality will get better just because of the technology will get better, but I don't think it will necessarily make for better music.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, totally. I'm always fascinated by it because, you know, you and I would have, you know, as being from a certain generation, would have a certain standard for audio. But there's another generation out there where YouTube might be the peak audio. Then, you know, they might go a little bit lower. You know, there's all these stories of, you know, like a kid will, you know, record a ringtone off of someone and then it'll be like, you know, you'll have half the sound of a cafeteria and half the sound of a song in the background or something like that.
Sure.
But just like you said, it really is the quality of the song and whether or not someone likes it that matters.
Yeah. And like the words they're saying and stuff. It's funny because, you know, you as a kid, you grew up and you listened to, you know, whatever records you listen to. And then, you know, doing music, I might go back and listen to some record I really liked as a kid, and I'll think, wow, they really, like, this was really a terrible recording, and, like, they're really out of tune. But it never occurred to me when I was a little kid. And I think that's sort of, if you're noticing that stuff, it sort of detracts from your enjoyment of something that's, like, otherwise must be pretty great.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I wouldn't give back any of the cassette tapes I listened to for a CD. All right. Well, thank you very much. And do you have what websites, anything to plug, anything you want to mention?
Let's see. I'm going to be performing at South by Southwest in Austin. I don't know if you follow that. It's like a music festival.
Yep.
That will be on
March
20th.
It's also a film festival. March 20th, okay.
Yes, that's right. March 20th at the Cedar Door is the name of the place. It sounds very fancy. I think they do have nachos there, too. So you should come. It's called a Nom 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 Nomathon 2010.
Awesome.
And other than that, just my website, perrygriff.com, and eat Wawa hoagies. If you go in to purchase a Wawa hoagie, please say how much you like the music, whether you've heard it or not. And,
meatball turkey or a cheesesteak.